Welcome back. You're here with Dave on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. You know, we've done a lot of talking a little about the healthcare system itself and the healthcare system in place to make sure we have access, as Bob said, to the resources, the skills, the surgeries, whatever we need to maintain our quality of care. But there's a preventative aspect to this too. And, you know, most people want to age in place and stay mobile and so on and so forth. And we got to talk about that because as we get older, it gets a little harder to do that. You've got to actively make that happen to prevent, illness and mobility issues for as long as you possibly can. Now, we have a terrific guest to help us understand the relationship between how to do that and both the physical and the social slash mental aspects of this. We have Megan McDonough, who is a professor at the Faculty of Kinesiology at the University of Calgary. Megan, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Okay, so as you gathered from that little bit of upfront, we have talked about the Canadian healthcare system, and it's there to help us when we have a particular problem. But we all also share a responsibility in our own healthcare by being active and staying engaged and socially and mentally and all of these different things. And I think this is where your expertise comes in. And I'd like to get your take. I'm just going to throw it to you. And I'd like to get your take on the aspect of the connection between physical mobility and maintaining that and the social and mental aspects, connecting those two things together.
Right. So maintaining physical activity and staying active is something that helps us continue to be able to do that throughout our lives. So one of the things, a lot of people are quite interested in, maintaining independence is one of the top issues that older adults identify as important to them. And so physical activity is a way that we can do that. And there's a lot of different things that you can do that encompass physical activity, everything from walking to, some people have a favorite sport or classes or things they do, but it can be formal or informal. But movement helps us maintain those physical abilities and maintain that independence. So it is really important to do that as we age. Something else that we're really interested in my work is that physical activity in many cases is also a social setting. So, clearly, of course, you could go for a walk on your own, but a lot of the activities we do are either with other people, or even that walk might be around other people, or a way that we see other people or run into other people throughout our day. And so we're really interested in how physical activity also can help us maintain those social connections, which are really important for our mental health. They can be important also as sort of building and maintaining support resources, basically maintaining your social network or increasing your social network. So you have other people in your life who you can call on that can help you, or even just are people who sort of bolster your mood, or people you can interact with and participate with in sort of promoting mental health. So it can be important in a variety of different ways.
So the pandemic, I think, has certainly pointed that out to many. I mean, I have a mother in a long-term care facility. Now, she suffers from dementia, and I think the only thing I can say good about dementia is the fact that she didn't suffer the cumulative effect day after day of social isolationism when they were all quarantined and locked in. But that's a bit of a sad statement, because I think we all collectively, globally, experienced this idea of sometimes we were locked in, you weren't getting the physical, and that bleeds into the social and the mental aspect of not being able to see and interact with people. Your thoughts and takeaway from, let me throw this to you. I talk to a lot of people about being active. When people retire, they say, I want to be active and I want to travel and I want to do all these things, but they're not necessarily active now, right? So your thoughts, comments on this idea of living a life that is not active pre-retirement and then thinking that you're going to move into an active retirement, active lifestyle in retirement. To me, I don't see that happen a lot, right? Lifestyle is lifestyle, and people need to start early on this idea, in my opinion, in order to maintain that through their later years. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so there's sort of two sides to this. So on one hand, you are right that if you start early or maintain an active lifestyle, earlier in your life, you are more likely to live an active lifestyle later in your life. There's an association there. There's also the flip side, though, because I think there's a lot of hope in this, too, because we know lots of people are not currently active. But it's important to understand that the physical benefits of physical activity are available to you, and you can increase fitness. You can, sort of improve in being able to create those habits at any point in your life. Like even if you aren't active now, if you start being active, those benefits are available to you. You know, certainly for anybody at any stage, making those first steps can be a bit challenging. So it can be helpful to have supports around you to be able to do that. But when you take those first steps, that is still possible, even like quite late in life. So that's important that people know too, that it's not hopeless.
Yeah, it's not hopeless. You're right. That's a good point. Thank you for clarifying that. What tips do you have? I mean, I go back to the pandemic. Lots of people perhaps quit, were out of the routine, whatever the case may be. So if you're in that situation, or if you're just starting new, it can be intimidating. Like you said, it can be a bit scary to get going. Give us a couple of tips from from your perspective of how to start.
Yeah, so a couple of broad things. First of all is to start where you're at. So all of us might be at different places in terms of our current fitness or knowledge of different activities or things that are available to us. And I think an important thing is knowing and understanding that moving is good for us in any amount. So there are public health recommendations for minimum amounts of physical activity that are recommended to maintain sort of optimal health benefits. And I know that those are important. Like those are, if you meet those targets, that is good for your health. But I know some people are also intimidated by those because they seem kind of far off from where they're currently at. And I think it's all equally important that we know that even if you aren't, for example, you know, if you aren't going out for as long of a bout as might be recommended or getting your total minutes or at the intensity that is recommended, if you start where you are at right now, you do get benefits from all of the movement you do. And doing that movement gradually builds your fitness. And over time, you might be able to move towards meeting those recommendations. And even in the meantime, you're getting benefits along the way. So I think that's a really important message for reducing the intimidation factor. And then a second point is that we're more likely to do and maintain doing the things that we enjoy. So if there's an activity that you feel more comfortable with, that you enjoy doing, certainly if there's an activity you like to do with other people, that's a big factor that can help you sustain that activity, that choose those activities because you're more likely to do them. You know, sometimes people envision things like, you know, running for a long period of time on a treadmill and they just can't see themselves doing that. Well, then maybe don't choose that. Maybe that's not the thing that you want to do. So I think those are important. And then also having supports around you. So having, like I mentioned, other people you can do the activity with that can make it more enjoyable and also sort of create a little bit more motivation to, you know, sometimes it's hard to get out the door for that walk if it's not perfect weather or something like that, but you know, you're meeting someone, so you make that extra effort. So it can help in that way. But also just being around other people makes you see sort of those examples and role models of other people who are doing it. You get those positive mental health benefits from being with other people in addition to being active. So those can really boost our motivation.
Megan, thank you very much. We've got to wrap it up there. I appreciate your input, time, and the motivation to get going on this stuff.
Great. Well, thanks for your interest.
We've been joined by Megan McDonough, professor of faculty kinesiology at the University of Calgary. Listen, join us for our next seminar. We're going to have to put all this stuff together. Make sure your health, mental health, physical health, and financial health all work for your retirement. That's going to be on Tuesday, June 21st, 7 o'clock. To register, go to morethanmoneyradio.com. All right, thanks for joining us for another edition of More Than Money. We'll look forward to speaking with you next week.
David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets, Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets, Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund, an investment industry regulatory organization of Canada.